by not being behind the pulpit. And you might wonder why. This is the commandment that I think, to me, is the one that I've been least looking forward to preaching on. Why? Well, because I'm a son, and we're all sons or daughters of someone. And this is the commandment that I think really speaks to me, and I really struggle to understand what it's actually telling me to do. Honor your father and mother. And so I'm left questioning as a son, how well am I doing at honoring my parents? Given the fact that for the past 15 years, Heather and I have lived thousands of miles from them, and given what Heather and Peter's dad is going through with his health, and obviously then their mom and what she's going through with supporting him, and what my mom has gone through over the past number of months with dad's illness and then death, I'm left to ask, how well are we doing at honoring our parents? Preaching never comes or should never come from a place where the preacher has it all sorted. And the preacher's saying, you know, I'm telling you how I'm doing it, so you should do it like I do. Well, this one even more so. I don't feel equipped at all to be able to step in to the pulpit this morning and preach on this commandment. And so preaching on it, I have to be careful to ensure that I don't preach on it in a way that makes me feel okay about being a son, or gives me a free pass that I can go in and go, well, I'm okay, at least I'm honoring my parents based on the way that I'm explaining it. So this is the commandment I've been least looking forward to. As sons and daughters, let's come together in prayer as we come before this word of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we truly believe that your word is life-giving to us, to all of us. We believe that you created us in families. You created us to thrive in families. And now, Lord, you speak this word of truth into our lives, into our families. You speak this word before each and every one of us because we're all sons, we're all daughters. So, Lord, may we come before your word with open minds and hearts and lives. No matter what age we are, Lord, no matter how many years we've lived as a son or a daughter, speak to us. Breathe life into us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is the commandment that really stands out for me. Of all the 10, this is the one. And I've struggled with it, and I'm gotta be honest, I look at it, and I just don't get it. Well, at least I didn't get it. Not that I have fully gotten it yet. Sure, honoring, being respectful to our parents is a good thing. It's a right thing. No preacher should be standing up and encouraging young people or any children to not honor their parents. It's what we're supposed to do. But why is it a commandment? And more to the point, why is this the commandment that comes with such an explicit promise? A promise that is expanded upon in the retelling of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, this commandment says this: honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Why are these rich blessings of longevity, of prosperity, connected with kids honoring their parents. You see, I think I could see an easy connection if that promise was given to us in terms of the commandment saying, okay, lump all of these ones together and treat your neighbors well and it will go well with you in the land I'm giving to you. Or become Sabbath keepers, keeping the holiest of holy days each week and it will go well with you in the land I'm giving you. Or have no other gods instead of Yahweh and obviously it will go well for you in the land I'm giving you. But honoring our parents? If I said badly, I'm sorry, but what's so special about that? A number of commentaries that I've been referencing throughout this series to discuss the importance of taking care of our aging parents. And that makes total sense. Again, I don't think anyone would argue against it. Particularly when you think that at the time these commandments were first given, there was no such thing as pension schemes or social benefits, right? In terms of governments or anything like that. So when people got older in these days, they obviously needed someone to look after them into their old age. They needed their families. They needed their children to bring them into their homes and look after them. Now, this is perhaps where, as a son, I quickly get a kind of tightness going on in my chest or my heart. Because I have to ask myself, do we as a family do our very best to take care of or look after our parents? In other words, could we do more? Well, the answer is obviously yes. And I think the answer should always be yes. I think all of us could do more for our parents, our families. There's absolutely no question in my mind that we could do more, we could do better for our parents. But as a pastor, I have to ask the question, is that the point of the fifth commandment? The word translated honor also means, if you kind of unpack it a little bit, it means give weight to, treat as important, highly value. Well, all of those meanings make complete sense to me, right? Treat as important, give high value, give weightiness to your parents. We should all do that. We could all treat them as being more important, I am sure, in our lives every day. Yes, of course we could. In what we could say, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, healthy families, I think we could certainly all agree that we could treat our parents as being more important. When the parents have been loving the kids unconditionally, the children should respond and love the parents unconditionally. However, what do we do with this commandment, this understanding of it, this view of it, if someone's father or mother, for that matter, has been abusive? Are we going to throw this commandment before a daughter whose father has been abusing her? Or a son whose mother has been beating him daily? This is where this commandment gets messy. Because what happens then, the popular thing to do when teaching this commandment is that we start to put boundaries and limits around it. And we start to hear things like, yes, we should honor our parents, but only if the parent is actually treating the child well, if it's not within an abusive relationship. Can you see where this goes? We start to actually kind of manage it so that it will actually make sense. The problem is, my thesis for this entire series is that all of the commandments, including this one, are life-giving. That if we are keeping them, they should fill us with life. Not merely any old life, but God's life. These commandments are God's words. God's words are life-giving to us. They are spoken to us, over us, into us, to breathe his life into our fallenness. He's wanting to make us what we were supposed to be through these words. This commandment is supposed to be life-giving, no exceptions, no limits. So what do you do with it? Let's look at the promise in the commandment. So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Why is the relationship of children towards their parents connected with this idea of longevity, of blessing, of becoming a thriving nation? I think it's safe to assume that for a lot of people, the family is considered to be the most basic social unit, right? So as such, a nation, in order for any nation that has families within it, for that nation to become stable, or for that matter, to thrive, family life has to be strong. Families have to be strong. The family network has to be thriving. What commandment number 5 about the honoring our parents could be saying then is that the only way for society to grow in health and prosperity is when family life is strong, when it's healthy, when it's respectful. I think a number of people would probably agree with that. In fact, we might even go further and say that the breakdown in a number of societies begins with their children. It's when children are starting to become what they are not supposed to be, that's when society life breaks down. So one commentator once said this: the children now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, they show disrespect for elders, they love chatter in places of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents. They chatter before company. They gobble up dainties at the table, cross their legs, and tyrannize their teachers. Jen, you're not responding. That last little comment was just thrown in just for you, right? Some may hear these words and think, wow, that commentator's got it. He's hit the nail on the head. That's what's wrong with society today, with our culture today. That's what's wrong because the young people are just going off. Here's the thing. I've just quoted Socrates. He wrote that 400 years before the birth of Christ. Right? Societies have been prospering for centuries. So can you really say that societies to prosper and to become thriving really depends on the behavior of their kids? How are these things all connected? How do we make sense of this? In order to understand the promise better, what I want to do is I want you to think back to week number 1 of this series, when I handed out these little comparison charts. Remember that, which you're all keeping in your Bibles? The comparison chart that laid out the Ten Commandments as per our tradition, and then the Jewish tradition and the Catholic tradition. If you recall, on that first week of this series, what I did was I highlighted that in the other traditions, the Jewish and the Catholic tradition and the Lutheran tradition, they combine what we call commandment number 1 and commandment number 2. And I asked that day, I wonder what the significance of that is. Right? Now, so in their traditions, those two things are combined as one commandment, the first commandment that they have in the list, really. So this, their commandment reads like this: you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of children who love me and keep my commandments. So their very first kind of commandment says, don't do this or your kids are going to suffer. Or on the other hand, do something other than making idols. And if you do, then you will be richly blessed, and your kids will be richly blessed. Can we hear the focus of the commandment? It would appear that this commandment is being spoken directly towards parents, and whether or not their sins are being passed on to the next generation or generations to come, right? Did you catch that? Punishing the children for the sins of their parents of the third and fourth generation, of those parents who hate me, who do not keep my commandments, but on the other hand, showing love to 1,000 generations of those parents who love me and who keep my commandments. So if the parents keep the commandments, there is an outflow, a consequence of their faithfulness. An abundance of life is going to be passed on to future generations. Huge responsibility. In the Jewish and Catholic traditions, their very first commandment has a very clear focus on the family unit and how life, God's life, abundant, overflowing, everlasting life is passed on, or whether it's not passed on to future generations, depending on how the parents keep the commandments. And then we have the next two commandments. One dealing with how you actually live your life with God's presence in that life. Misusing the name of God. And I argued that's actually God's presence we're talking about. Do we live our lives with God's presence in us, in our lives, as if it's worthless, as if it's meaningless? Or do we live our lives so that God's presence within us is shown to have great value? And we saw that how we have God's presence in our lives is by keeping the commandments, by obeying the word of God. God is present with us through his word. The next commandment last week, we looked at the Sabbath, a holy day set apart from God, a day that we don't make holy, but a day we are invited to enter into its blessedness. Living as Sabbath keepers will result in us being filled with this incredible blessing of God. And the Sabbath begins in the home. It begins in the homes with families gathered in this celebration of God's presence, God's blessing upon them. So thus far, these commandments are telling us they're not merely for us as individuals, they are for our homes, our families, our children as well. Practice God's way of life, this rhythm of life in your home, and your home, your life, will be filled with God's holy presence and blessed abundantly. It will be passed on. I think that's why the great C.S. Lewis, I said this because Alana loves C.S. Lewis, he wrote this once. Really great moral teachers never do introduce new moralities. It is quacks and cranks who do that. That's a great line, isn't it? All right? The real job of every moral teacher is to keep on bringing us back time after time after time to the old simple principles which we are all so anxious not to see. It's like bringing a horse back and back to the fence it has refused to jump, or bringing a child back and back to the bit in its lesson that it wants to shirk. Parents are to bring their kids back every single week to their faith. Parents are to pass on their faith to their kids. And the very next thing that we are commanded in the commandments is honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. It's a commandment that includes this explicit promise of blessing, of abundance, of life to the children, a promise that echoes the exact same promise already given to the parents. Of abundant life. A promise of God's abundant life to children, but here explicitly connected with how those children honor their parents. With that context of the commandments and how they are structured, now you ask, what does it mean for children to honor their parents? What does this act of honoring actually look like? If the first four commandments in our tradition, the first three in the other traditions, are encouraging this family unit and parents to pass on their faith, keep the commandments so as to pass on life to the children, what if the children are now being told to honor that, to give weight to that, to give weight to how they see their parents live the faith, to highly value the faithfulness of their parents, to honor the godliness of their father and the mother? But do what? The Apostle Paul, he, in his letters a number of times, wrote what we call the household codes in the New Testament. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, in his letter to the Ephesians, he offers his interpretation of this specific commandment. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. That word obey that Paul throws in, you think, well, where did he get that? How does he get from the word honor to obey? The word obey means give heed to the example that is being set before you by your parents. Give weight to it, highly value it, and follow it. Follow their lives. Follow their instructions. Follow in their footsteps. Take on the same faith that you are seeing in your parents. If your parents are endeavoring to keep the commandments of Yahweh, honor your parents by keeping the commandments yourselves. If they are living lives in such a way as to show that God's presence in their lives, in the home, is worth a huge amount, it's worth immeasurably more than you can imagine, honor your parents by doing likewise. If they trust God by remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy, honor your parents by doing exactly the same thing. Honor your parents' faith by following their example. And if you do, it will go well for you, just like it will go well for your parents, because you will be filled with God's life. Now, here's the point. And again, I need to go back to where I started. I am not arguing that children should not take care of their parents. That is something we all have to work out ourselves, given our own circumstances, where we find ourselves. How can Heather and I take care of our parents living so far away following God's call? How do we manage these things? But I think commandments numbers 1 to 5 that we have in our tradition are explicitly focused on keeping the commandments, not merely for ourselves, but in order to pass the life-giving nature of them on. Keep them. It's a huge responsibility as parents. Keep the commandments in such a way that you're passing those faith things on to your kids, whether you're a parent or not. Whether you're a parent or not, I wonder if we're all being asked, how well are we doing at passing on the faith to the next generation and the generation after that? And parents, let me go even further. And this is where I really feel a tightness of my chest. If we're not keeping them, if we're not keeping the commandments, if we're not doing what we're commanded to do in the first four, what makes us think our children should honor us? That's where the buck stops right there. You want to put limits on commandment number 5, that's it. And it's not even a limit. Because what if commandment number five tied in with their first four is actually telling the kids that the kids have every right to hold us accountable as parents? What if these commandments are giving every right to the young people of our church, no matter what age they are, to come and tell us, Mum, Dad, aunts, uncles, grannies, grandas, I don't think God would be happy with the lifestyle that you're following. Isn't it far too easy to think that the kids are just being disrespectful and they should honor us, do what we tell them to do? In fact, what if they're actually trying to point us back to God? Because they're pointing us back to keeping the commandments. So let me ask all of us, how well are we doing at responding to this commandment today? As I was thinking about today, I kept thinking, wow, there's going to be so many people sitting in the second service particularly, and they're going to be thinking, yeah, Martin, but those days are gone. You know, we're now grandparents, great-grandparents. Kids have grown up. They've moved out, got their own lives. And some of them may say, well, you know, they still come to church the odd time. And some may say, well, they don't. They've given up on the faith. They don't come to church anymore, and they're not passing the faith on. What do we do with that? Maybe some young people, some families sitting in this service, and they might be thinking, well, you know what? I'm sitting here, but my parents weren't. So I'm okay, Jack. Who cares about them? I remember one of the hardest things about becoming a pastor was actually looking at, particularly my dad, because my mum had started to go to church and has a really strong faith now. Dad wasn't. He grew up Catholic. He just had given up on church, really. He came to church when I preached at Ballywullen in 2006, and then the last time was last year. So the last time he was ever in church, I was the one preaching on the Good Samaritan. So when he got sick in October, Heather, in the midst of what she was dealing with, said very plainly, very directly, it was a commandment of a wife to me, go home and you talk to him about Jesus. You pray over him. Because she, her love for him, wanted to make sure that if something was going to happen to him, you know, we knew what was going on. I went back, and Dad couldn't really respond. And so all I did was use the opportunity to pray over him, and not pray that he would become aware of who he was and any fallen nature or anything like that. I didn't throw theology at him, but quite simply that he would see the God that loves him with an unconditional love. In the midst of that rehab ward, where he wasn't able to respond to us, the one person that would get through to him and be able to speak to him and he would fully understand would be Jesus. I remember my sister telling me after he died, she saw a peace that she had never seen before in Dad's face. And so we've clung to that ever since. It's never too late to go and actually pray over our parents or pray over our relatives. It's never too late as a grandparent to go and speak to our kids and say, do you know what? You're not going to church anymore, but I just want to pray for you. It's never too late for families to actually speak to each other and hold each other accountable for the way that we're living our lives. We read these commandments, we learn these commandments, we pass them on, but we have to actually come before them and take off our shoes before them and say, are we going to live by them? Do we truly believe that they're life-giving? Are we honoring our parents to the glory of God? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as sons and daughters, we bow before you. None of us need to be led in prayer because you're speaking to us, Lord. We know our families. We know the relationships we have. It's easy to go to the relationships which are life-giving, healthy, wholesome. But we know families, Lord, and we know that there are difficult relationships, relationships that have been broken. So, Lord, grant us courage. Courage to honor each other, to point each other to you, to pass on your love. Ev taught us about Cupid today. What if, Lord, we're supposed to be just like Cupid? And fire arrows of love. Your love. Not just randomly, but directly. Look people in the eye. Put an arm around them. And love them. And remind them that Jesus loves them. I pray, Lord, that we would all honor our parents. I pray for the parents in our congregation, Lord, that are bringing up kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That you would give those parents the courage to take a serious look at their lives. Are we passing on the faith? Pray for the young people that they would have the courage to hold us accountable. Breathe your life, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.